Good morning. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram, Earl Ingram Show. Sam, how do people call into the show?
Give us a call or a text here at 844-967-2789, and I'll screen you, and you can join our conversation.
So during that break, I did some Googling, because I thought, you know, I've been talking theoretically about the family that has two income earners that don't earn $100,000 a year, and their sorry plight, because it ends up after you take away subtract from that the taxes and the rent they pay and the health insurance they pay and the child daycare expenses they incur if they have children under 8 years old. And they end up living paycheck to paycheck. But you know what? That family of that's earning $100,000 is well above the median in the United States. The median family in the United States earns somewhere closer to $75,000 a year. And by median, what we're talking about now is not the average, but we're talking about what half of the families earn. So half of the families in the United States earn $75,000 or more, and half of the families in the United States earn $75,000 or less. So let's focus on that half of the United States that earn $75,000 or less. Or let's focus on the family that tries to make it as most of our families did, patting myself on the chest and being a baby boomer, where we had single income earning parents and a stay-at-home mom or father who took care of the family. The median income for a single wage earner is $52,000. So if a family tried to make it with a single wage earner, half of the families with a single wage earner would be earning less than $52,000 a year. Now, should those families have a keen interest on what we spend on our military budget? Absolutely. Should those families, half of our families at least, have a very keen interest on what our policies are with respect to health care, with respect to child daycare, and with respect to education costs? Absolutely. Because it's those costs that are driving our families to a perilous and actually frightening paycheck-to-paycheck existence. We have most families who are living paycheck-to-paycheck, particularly the ones in the median level and below, the $75,000 and less families, can't afford to buy health insurance. They have to do a triage on what expenditures they can afford. And if they're a younger family, they're going to take a risk and not buy health insurance, because that $15,000 doesn't exist after they pay rent and after they pay taxes and after they pay child daycare and after they pay for food and the various necessities. So they have to make that decision. And if they make that decision, that means they're living not only paycheck to paycheck for fear that the next paycheck doesn't come in, they're living in terror of someone in the family getting sick enough to require medical attention. Because that medical attention is going to come out of a revenue source that doesn't exist for them. And so what we have occurring in the United States, and many of you listeners are already a part of this, we have people who are waiting to get very sick, so sick that they can't do anything but crawl to an urgent care center in order to get the medical care that they otherwise would be able to get in every other developed country in the world by simply walking to the local health care provider and walking in the door and getting the care they require. So, you know, the way we spend our money in this country makes a difference to us, and the way our government spends its money makes a difference to us. And the area that seems to have an open checkbook for us is our foreign policy. We in the United States in the last 3 months have decided to write $53 billion of checks to Ukraine, all of it necessitated for essentially military purposes or the humanitarian recovery from military activities. That $53 billion was determined to be sent with little or no debate, a bipartisan vote in which the Senate had 11 dissenters, just 11, in which the bipartisan vote across Congress was something that is an altogether rare activity, except, of course, in the area of foreign policy. And so when we are spending $1 trillion a year on defense and foreign the problems associated with other countries. Why is it that when we bring up a debate about, for instance, child daycare expenditures, we hear from the Congress that there's not enough money to do it, that we should be worried about our economy and inflation if we're going to spend that kind of money? Was anyone talking about inflation as we decided to write the $53 billion of checks in favor of Ukraine? And incidentally, this money isn't all being spent in Ukraine. Much of it is being spent on American munitions and being paid to American munitions manufacturers, so that it in fact has the potential for a highly inflationary effect by feeding more money into the American economy at a time when there are people worried about the feeding money into the American economy, which sort of, I guess, is a segue to the American economy, because there's no question that both the Ukrainian situation and the sanctions which we have imposed as the result of our reaction to the Ukrainian situation, as well as the supply chain problems which were initiated with a foreign policy that included tariff actions, a foreign and domestic financial policy, the tariff actions under the Trump administration, and then, of course, COVID, which was an intervening cause which people had little or nothing to do with. But we now have a dire economic condition in our country, which you would think would cause us to spend our money carefully in the things that have less import. And you would think they would cause us to spend our money more aggressively in the things that are important to us, like our children, like our health care. But in fact, it's having directly the opposite effect. And who is it that's setting our foreign policy? Is it Boeing? Is it the corporations like Boeing who are moving their headquarters to Washington, D.C.? And for what reason? Well, it's pretty clear what the reason is. Or is it the American people who are setting these policies? And if it's the American people, why are so many of the American people attracted to the MAGA political movement, which is opposed to anything like public health care, and which is focused instead on things that have little or no import to our children? Well, there is some attention that's being paid to our children. The question is it positive or negative? We have this question of what is being taught to our children in school, which suddenly has sort of brought back to light something like the Scopes trial, which was something we all laughed at when we studied about it in school, when in Kansas there was this trial, a famous trial, taking up the question of whether evolution ought to be taught in school. And when that Scopes trial was described to all of us, it brought a smile to our mouth, like, how in the world could it possibly be the subject of political debate, much less Supreme Court or court attention, that whether or not evolution should be taught in school? But here we are again with politicians dabbling in the curriculum in schools and paying attention to the curriculum in schools rather than to the welfare of the students. Welfare like the health care of the students, the daycare of the students, preschool and preschool training that would get them to school in a condition such that they could maybe read and write sufficiently to keep up with the schoolwork that they were getting. No, we're paying our attention in school now to things like what should be on the curriculum in the school, and is math being taught with some sort of subtext to it that could be culturally dangerous to us? We have the cultural police in our political arena, investigating our schools to figure out whether what's being taught is adequate. But are they investigating the health care of our students? Are they investigating the welfare of the preschool students? Are we spending money there? No. We're writing checks to the tune of $53 billion and a quarter to Ukraine associated with a foreign policy that none of us had anything to do with developing. So I'm hoping that some of the listeners here, CJ, where are you when we're talking about something like this? We need to get ourselves involved with politics so that corporations like Boeing can't simply move their headquarters into the inner circle in Washington, D.C., and exercise such influence over our domestic expenditures and our policies that are implemented by government, exercise so much control over it that when it comes time to talk about the welfare of our citizens, when it comes time to talk about protecting our families who are earning the median two-income family of $75,000, or the median single wage earner of $53,000, to protect those people from the fear of ever having an illness because they can't afford medical care. Are we doing something about them, or have we simply turned our back on that issue after we adopted the Affordable Health Care Act and then stripped it of its teeth when the court decided that mandatory insurance was no longer a requirement, which meant that healthcare insurance costs rose dramatically, healthcare insurance costs rate rising to the level that when we identified it for a family of $100,000 or the median family of $75,000 would have to spend $15,000 or up to $20,000 a year to have the first dollar paid for out of healthcare insurance for the healthcare of their family. So how are we going to get this right? How are we going to shift the priorities of our government, and how are we going to shift the priorities of our political dialogue to the point where we can actually talk about the things that actually matter and actually matter to the families in our country who are strapped? You know, here we have an economy that is by measurement, at least, a hot economy. We have very low unemployment, right? And everyone can talk about that and point at low unemployment. And we have inflation because we have a shortage of workers because of that low unemployment. When people are out looking for the workers they need, they can't find them. But on the flip side of that, what's the median income of a single wage earner? The median income, $52,000, maybe $53,000 rounded. The median income of a family, $75,000 approximately. And we now know, when we do the math, I don't know why our government, why our legislature, why Congress can't do the same mathematical analysis, but we know from our mathematical analysis that you can't make it. You can't pay for health care, and you can't pay for child daycare, and you can't make it when you're living paycheck to paycheck, which you are if you are a median income earner in this country during this period of supposed great prosperity. We have prosperity, but who's experiencing it? We're going to a break again. We'll be back shortly.